This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab your coffee and join Marlena Curtis right now for Let's Talk Coffee and Everything in Between with MK Spices here on Access Radio Taranaki.
Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou katoa, no mai hare mai. I'm Marlena Curtis from Marlena's Kitchen, introducing MK Spice. They're rather nice. Thank you, MK Spice, for sponsoring our show, which is myself. Yay! There's nothing like putting your money where your mouth is, really investing in what you believe in, putting your whole heart into something. MK Spice, they're rather nice, is an artisan, award-winning brand, and in the studio with me today, talking about putting your money where your mouth is and your heart, especially, and working for our community. This young lady's been around me for many, many years. I've known her from the MCSS days, which, those of you who don't know, is called Marlena Curtis Stage School. Yay! Which ended quite a few years ago because I wanted to do other ventures. Now, this young lady has grown in absolutely every way that I can possibly think of, in stature, in intellect, in creativity. If I want anything done, I will go to Sunny to organise certain things. She's an amazing organiser as well as an event creator. Nothing stands in her way. And I love the fact that she loves our community so much. So this is Sunita Torrance. I call her Sunny. Some of you will know her, Sunita, who is in the studio with me today. Now, Sunny, before we launch into everything, what I would like to ask you is, what's your favourite hot drink? Now, I do know it's not coffee.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the odd coffee, honestly, but my go-to is chai latte. So chai latte is just very similar to the traditional Indian jar that my mum used to make for me every morning and my grandmother used to make for me. It's bottled up. It's not got all the fresh herbs and spices and everything in there, but it's reminiscent of it. So I like that.
It's funny you should say that because I was with someone the other day and they made me a classic Indian chai. And I thought, whoa, well, this is kind of different. Everything you have when it's made traditionally with traditional spices. Because the other thing I have to say with the Indian spices, or most Indians when they cook, I mean, I love, and you'll see on the cooking shows, this is not a lie, people. They do not buy spices pre-mixed. They have every single spice out in there and away they go. Jamaicans are the same. So obviously MK Spice, come back to my brand. See how clever I was there, Sunita?
Sick.
Going back to my brand. I've taken that out for you. So the best spices, artisans always do the best. Now, Sunny really is an artisan producer because she works with people from the ground up. She's been working with the people from the ground up for many, many years. And you started out with comedy. We've moved off of the hot drinks already because I think it's kind of interesting. But last time we chatted so much, we didn't actually get to the nitty-gritty. So we can always circle back to the hot drinks.
Yes, exactly. So, I'll be sipping it as we go. There we go.
Exactly. Now, the one thing I will ask you is that what – you found your niche. I mean, you did a lot of performances for me, and I remember you doing Tina Turner. I never forget it. And you did it so well. And also the Spice Girls, which I remember we did in Center City.
Yeah.
And you won.
Yes.
And do you remember who was in that group?
No.
Who was in your original group? No. I remember you.
Oh, yeah. Aspasia, Kara George. I don't know what their married names are because they were all like 17 back then. I actually saw a photo. I found a photo of us rehearsing. And the whole group of us posed like the Spice Girls and all that. So that was, yeah.
You know, and to me that brings back so much happiness.
Yeah.
I mean, lip syncing is an art form. And dare I say, it's like it's a dying art form. We brought it back to life. Used to do heaps of lip syncing competitions. Excuse me. I don't think people realise what goes into lip syncing.
No. And, like, it is making a big comeback in regards to drag queens, a lot of drag queens. You've got, you know, RuPaul's Drag Race where they lip sync for their life. And the art of the lip sync is just hugely important. It's basically, I call lip syncing the talent for people who aren't talented enough to sing. You can still do the performance and still be to do the imitation, but you don't have to actually have the voice. And thank God for that.
But with all due respect, something has got to sing. We won't mention any names because we're perfectly aware of who they are.
Yeah.
So you won't have to go there, do you?
Yeah. No. I mean, Milli Vanilli really brought it out.
Going back to the first time, I think in the UK, I saw Danny LaRue.
Mm.
And it was an art form. It was, you looked at him, all the glitz and the glamour, but the way he moved and what he did, and it wasn't a big deal. Now, you have to understand, the British are quite stiff upper lip. That's what we're known for.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So to accept and love a drag person, because there was no name, there was no label.
Yeah, yeah.
His name was Danny LaRue.
Yeah.
And what he did was drag.
Yeah. Yep,
and it was
absolutely.
An art form. And I can remember watching a program, I don't know what it was called, as a young black performer. And he was dressed in drag on one side. Mm. So he was doing Diana Ross on one side and Michael Jackson the other side. I've never seen anything like
it. Yeah, yeah.
Because when he turned sideways, that's all you saw.
Yeah.
And then the other way. And I was thinking, I'd get confused, actually, of which side I was on.
Yeah, yeah. That's a talent right there.
I'm singing the Diana Ross side.
Yeah.
The Michael Jackson. And so it's an art form. And people don't understand. And some people get confused of what it's at. And you obviously didn't. You've taken it a step further. So you've not only have you done the drag queen shows, but you also have one of the shows that you take around New Zealand.
Mm. So I've got several shows that I take around New Zealand. I mean, there is the Rainbow Storytime, of course, but the Rocky Horror Picture Show has been a big one. And Marlena hates the Rocky Horror Picture Show, which is an awful thing to say on the 50th anniversary of the movie coming out last week. But it is my absolute favourite. And I have had to drag her along to one of my shows to see it or to see parts of it. And she has come along because she's a very supportive woman. But, yeah, Rocky Horror Picture Show is a big part of my life, which involves a bit of drag.
And that's, you see, this is the thing. That's a bit that I love, but it's the storyline that I think, it's not everybody's cup of tea, as we say in the
UK. What's the storyline? No one knows what the storyline is.
Well,
it's so screwed up.
Funny you should say that, because in my little world, you know, the universes that I live in, there's quite a few. Mm. Being in my own reality show, for one.
Mm.
It's very clear to me, but for other people, it isn't. And that's the other thing. And I used to think maybe I watched too much television, maybe I watched too many movies, because I always can tell what was going to happen, always know what's going to happen. And it's quite boring for me because you're going, ugh, oh, no. And even just yesterday, I was watching something. The acting was superb, absolutely brilliant. I mean, I love all our actors because they're putting themselves out there every single time they go on set. But I knew what was going to happen. And I said to myself, well, loud talking to myself, surprise, people, because people who know me out there in the street have heard me moaning about prices. But in any event, moving on from that. And I thought to myself, I know what's going to happen. And I was thinking, please don't, boom.
And it happened.
Yeah.
Predictable.
Yeah.
That's annoying. That is really annoying. Whereas, yeah. I try to be unpredictable with everything I do.
I think you are, to be quite frank. You're very outspoken, and a lot of people can't handle that. You do well in the UK and in America, depending on where you are at, because I noticed with America...
definitely on the opposite side to what they like over there.
Well, yeah, because at the end of the day, people... All my friends that I used to have in the UK, and when I was growing up, I remember being at school, and I remember at the age of 12 making a choice between this troublemaker... and whether I could navigate her being in our group without talking to her, because every word you said, she'd turn it around and twist it, you know, troublemakers. Mm. This is what I did. Now, remember, people, I was either 11 or 12. Somebody told me somebody said something, and I don't do that, you see.
Yeah.
That wasn't the way I was raised. And so this is how I nipped it in the bud back then. Remember, I was 11 or 12.
Mm.
I said, get her there. And I'll be there, but don't tell them I'm coming. I sat down and I said to her, and what did I say? Bright red.
Mm. Yeah.
I said, so it's a lie then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just went.
Yeah. I've learned a lot over the last few months, actually, in regards to all of the stuff that I'm doing business-wise, even my personal life and love life and everything that I'm involved with at the moment is that people don't like to take accountability for themselves. And they always say, oh, you're bad-mouthing me, you're bad-mouthing me. And I'm like, actually, am I bad-mouthing you, or are you just doing something bad that I am talking about and calling out? So have a think about that, and maybe think about the fact that what you're doing is bad and I'm just vocalising it. And, yeah. Well, figure that one out for yourself.
So yeah, there's a comedian out there right now, and he says, how dare you be offended? Who are you to be offended? Who the hell do you think you are to be offended? That's the ego that gets offended very quickly. And I have to say, if I go to a shop, I do want high service. Yeah. Anywhere I go, because when I'm with my spices, I will give you the service as if everybody has come from an African queen prince background. Yes?
Yes.
So that's what I expect. Mm. I do not expect anything less. If you give me less, I will tell you.
Mm.
And don't make a face at me, please. Because I will just look at you and I won't say anything at all. I won't write about it. I will just go to the source and say, don't let that person serve me ever again, because I cannot guarantee that I won't put my hands. Yes, yeah. Anyway, I don't believe in violent people.
She doesn't really believe in it, but it's instilled in her.
Yeah, it's still there. British, I mean, you know, it's my dad always taught me, God rest his soul, three fathers, but there you go, moving on. none of them are alive.
Not the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Goat. Four weddings and a funeral. God bless them, eh? This is what I love about Let's Talk Coffee and everything in between. See, Sunny, Sanita, whoever you may know her as, Torrance, you know the surname, can follow how I speak, because we think alike. Creators, creative people have so many things going on in their minds that I do believe we all have to be slightly mad. First of all, to be in the industry because of all the rubbish that comes. You know, I grew up with, oh, you think you're going to be a star. Oh, you think you're going to do this. You think you're going to model. You can't model. You're too black. No, you're too short. You're too tall. Your ass is too fat. Your things. Every single thing was wrong.
Mm.
And I just looked at them and went, well,
despite that, I'm doing better than you. And that's something I'd really like to talk about, actually, is New Zealanders and tall poppy syndrome.
What is that about? Now I ask you.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad over here. Like, we try to be as supportive as we can, and we really want to uplift our small town and Kiwi performers and things like that, but then so hard to bring them down as well. We're always trying to bash people down for being something beyond what we are, and I don't understand that mentality fear. At all. I've had this all my life.
It's a fear. It's a fear of the unknown. It's a fear. Americans don't fear stars; they revere stars. Mm. Here, they don't. They don't mind you doing well, but there's no such thing as a star, which is sad. That's why we don't have films where we're at here, because you do them and people get upset.
Someone has to dig around and try to find something bad about that person to bash them down. And that's basically the mentality of what these people do. It's tall poppy syndrome. And I just don't understand it. Why aren't we just not uplifting people constantly?
Well, you know what I did, Sunny?
What?
I just pretend it's not there. Next, because if I'd done that the whole of time of my life and you, we wouldn't be where we are today. Okay, so you have to just rise above, pretend it's not there, and just keep moving forward. It's there, but don't let it affect you. And that's what I want to say to you listeners out there. Those of you who are creators, those of you who are dreamers, keep dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
Keep dreaming, because what you have to understand where all these movies come from, all these actors, they have to dream, create, become those people. You see the actors who you believe and the ones that you don't believe.
Mm.
Yeah. That's the creativity coming through. When you did, and I keep harping back to Tina Turner, when you did Tina Turner, it was so convincing because you became Tina Turner.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. The legs, I mean, everything. And do you remember Dinny Mayhew, when you did Imple Burke? Was it Engelbert Humperdinck?
I can't remember.
So we did this show, yeah. And it used to be, I mean, it was a wonderful theatre, state theatre, no longer there, got knocked down, made into a car park, surprise. And it was one of the best community theatres ever, remember? Because it was nice, small, people could actually afford to hire it with a community. And I always remember that you came alive. We had so much fun. And I'm looking at the landscape now and I'm looking at what we have here now. And COVID came. And while people say, oh, yeah, well, it's over, the worst is over, and which is, praise God for that, you know, with the vaccine and everything. But unfortunately, a lot of things haven't bounced back. No. And we are still losing businesses.
And events. Look what's happened to WOMED.
A lot of events. A lot of events because of money. Mm-hmm. And there's only, people say, oh, well, they could do it. Yes, that's wonderful. But how much are you prepared to pay for something?
And that's what people don't seem to understand when it comes to myself and all of the events I do. People seem to think I'm doing it to line my own pocket. In the first place, I've never had funding for any of my shows or events I've ever done. It's all been self-paid for and pay for everything myself. I'm the last person to get paid. So sometimes after, 5 months of planning something, putting something on, hiring in all of the things, all of my artists have gotten paid at their good rate. I might get $200 from doing a job. From doing a show.
And people don't believe that because they don't want to believe that.
Because
they
what I do is so pretty.
Exactly. And they think, she must be getting a lot of money. That's what used to happen. I mean, God bless, back in the day, TSB Community Trust, which is now Toy. So let's go back to TSB Community Trust because that's what they were.
Yeah.
And that's what funded. So I could pay all my artists.
Mm.
Everyone got paid. Did I know that I was in the trust?
Mm.
I didn't mind. It's for the community. And a lot of people didn't even, they wouldn't have had the chance to go to the theatre because the money isn't there.
Yep.
Food on the table or watch somebody prancing around. But food on the table.
Yeah.
But education, creativity, because it's not classed the same as science, which, with all due respect, that's wonderful. It saved our lives, science.
Mm.
But also, whilst we were waiting to be saved, what were we all watching?
What did we turn to? What was the thing that kept us going? It was entertainment.
Creators.
Yeah.
What would we do without our dreamers?
Yeah.
And this is what I would say. There was never an equal balance between science and creativity. Now, my eldest daughter, she won an award. She'd only been drumming 2 years. It was obviously natural. She won an award. She got the highest grade ever between, it was included in the UK and New Zealand, right? The highest grade ever. She got from Dame, whomever it was, a letter, what have you. And she got $97. On the other side, you have somebody who's got science.
Yeah.
And it's like, they got 5,000. And I'm going, well, so what you're saying is that push that aside. I'm always listening to music. I turn on music in my car. It keeps me sane. I love it. And I'm stuck. Like I had an interview with somebody here and I was interviewing him. He said he's stuck in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you stick to wherever you are, whatever you enjoy.
Yeah.
That's the music. Somebody said to somebody, have you heard of blah, 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 blah? I said, well, I hardly knew the names when I was going out. I used to have to go
know
into,
what you liked.
I used to go into a record shop and sing the song because I didn't know what it was called or who the artist. It was irrelevant to me. It was the sound that I tune into.
Mm.
Now, let's get back to the drag and let's get back to how you dress for it and how long it takes because people don't understand the prep.
Yeah. It's a long process. I mean, for me being female, I've already got female features somewhat. So I don't have to contour my face to be feminine and get cheekbones and all that sort of stuff. I don't have to paint my eyebrows on because they're already high enough. For me, I can get ready in about 45 minutes to an hour. For Dan, who was my drag partner, he took 2 to 3 hours. And then he'd have to then put on his body. And then, of course, you're putting on all the layers and the stockings and the corsets and everything like that. He had to pad everything to give him the womanly shape. I didn't so much. so it is a long process. And that's why entertainment is costly. You look at it and you go, that's quite a lot of money. But it's not just for that half an hour to an hour that the person's out there in front of an audience. It's also the prep work and the prep that they do to rehearse and put their show together for your specifics. So you're paying for that kind of work as well. So there's no hourly rate that we put on there. We just give a set figure and, you know, the use of all of our consumables and everything that we do. So yeah, it's a huge thing.
So when you to go into doing drag, what made you go from comedy, because you used to do all the comedy, which was fantastic, by the way, because I was there. You know, I like to laugh. Surprise! And what made you change, or when did you decide to change the niche? Like, for myself, being an all-rounder and then deciding, okay, I'm going to go that route, and then I'm going to go delve deeper into that route, because that comes naturally.
One of the good things about me in particular is I find holes in the market that should be in there, give it a go, and if it works, I carry on with it. So I actually started doing this thing called Bitchin' Bingo, which was, I did at the Mayfair, and I was an Amy Winehouse impersonator. So I basically dressed in drag to look like Amy Winehouse and did bingo. And from that, that's when I morphed into becoming Coco Flash. And the other side of becoming an actual drag queen was that I wanted to support Daniel, who was the only male drag queen in Taranaki, and I didn't want him to be out there all alone on that limb. So that's why I decided I would drag myself out and go and help him out and support him and be in drag with him. That's kind of what got me into being an actual drag queen. And yeah, the whole point in me becoming a drag queen, being a cisgendered female already, was to look like a female impersonating a male impersonating a female. So if I got mistaken for a male and said, oh, you're just a man with a dress on, I'd be like, yes, I passed. Because that was the whole goal. I wanted to look like I was a man dressing as a female. And that was the whole point in it, just as a support.
Well, first of all, thank you for your honesty. Thank you for remaining you, Sunita. I think it's very important that you stay true to who you are. Without your honesty, your integrity, without all of your dreaming and without bringing everything to fruition, we wouldn't have these classes shows that go around and our people who are artists are getting paid. You need to be paid. So
know your worth.
You need to be paid megabucks. So I will wish you all the best. I will continually support what you do. You are amazing. Thank you so much for coming into my world today on our radio show, Let's Talk Coffee, and everything in between. We won't forget you. Thank you so much. We'll have you back anytime. Kakatiano, everyone. I hope you relaxed and you had a drink of coffee or hot tea. Thank you, Sunny.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.